At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Drain Pipe Bomb Productions. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. But please, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back the founder and CEO of Paint Drain Pipe Bomb Productions, the master of mayhem, Ricky freaking Litwinkiewicz. What's up, Ricky?
What's up, everybody? How's it going?
Well, it's good to have you back on the show, fresh off fateful recording on Saturday.
You know, I'm going to just say I am in a tremendously better mood than I was on Saturday. And, you know, I bear no apologies. And I only say this because, you know, there are some times where you do actually need to pull back the curtain and expose. But no, I think this is a very different topic that there won't be argument on, and I'll be in a better spot.
Mm-hmm. Definitely have a couple of topics, but we're going to start off with some recent releases from WWE. Obviously, the highlight from those would be Baron Corbin, but aside from him, also Indy Hartwell and Tegan Knox, who, by the way, I care deeply about. So I'm a little saddened that she's been released, but I'm not surprised because she's been off of television for a long time. Much to my sadness.
I'll go on record and say that I'm not tremendously surprised as everybody else is. And like you said, with especially Tegan Knox, a.k.a. Nixon Newell on the indies, a lot of the times when you have rosters like this, you don't have spots for everybody. Mm-hmm. You don't have storylines for everybody. They end up becoming like the catering dwellers. You know, they end up hosting and catering, or they're used for like a weird spot.
Tony Storm was an example of that several years ago.
But you know what, though? Again, especially in Tegan's spot in the company, she's had two major injuries since she got there, and that put her on the shelf for quite a long time.
Which really made me sad because I love Tegan.
So you injected her into the women's war games a few years ago, and she got written off because of a knee injury. So right there alone, you know, like you really can't. It's not that I don't think they had the faith in her talent. I think there was the fact of her being able to stay healthy long enough to be able to do stuff. And again, if you're sitting there paying somebody to not work, then you have to cut ties at some point.
Which is unfortunate. And her reaction, she mentioned that there's no control over it. But the most important thing is that she's declared that she is ready and that she has been ready. So wherever she goes next, I am going to be heavily rooting for Tegan or Nixon Newell, her pre-WWE name. I'm a huge fan of hers. Love her work. Love her character. Love to see where she goes next, and I'm certainly be excited to be talking about it here on this program.
But also, let's just mention before we go on to the next one that she's been in WWE for 7 years.
Right.
And has had two separate runs, again, because of, again, said injuries. The knee, she was the left knee first, I believe, that she blew out ligaments in her knee, and then it was the right knee, or vice versa. Either way, like, that would definitely kill off runs.
Her medical history shows that, yeah, it's knee problems, but I think she had knee injuries even before she started wrestling. I think, you know, when she was playing football, as a youth. I think a knee injury kind of ended that run. So unfortunately, knee injuries have been an unfortunate significant amount of her life, which again, you know, really makes me sad for her because she's a hard worker. She's dedicated. She's committed. She's devoted to this business. And she's one hell of a unique talent.
And it's her second time being released. So yeah. It's probably the ongoing theme that happens with wrestlers on the roster.
Very, very, very true. As far as Indy Hartwell goes, I don't even know what to say about that.
I think really maybe it was the fact that they gave her the NXT title run. And usually when you get a title run in NXT, that's almost a calling card for saying, okay, we're testing out to see how well you perform with having a strap. See how your popularity goes. See how like the ratings go with having you in there. And then she really, again, you go back to like the brand draft, right? She wasn't one that was part of a brand draft. She was just major league call up to the roster. And let's see how she performs. Okay, all fine and good. But also at the same right, you got to kind of realize that you bring them up, and if they really don't have pop to start, then you got to kind of piece it all together. And they had a really good thing running when they had the whole family thing running with her and Gargano's wife. You know, they had that good run there, but they couldn't kind of piece that up to the main roster. That probably would have secured her a little bit.
Probably.
But they had her out on her own. And I don't think that kind of worked out. Then they tried to do the tag team thing again. And they obviously didn't get over as a tag team in the main roster. So, toward the end, she was more of a spectator than she was a performer. And, like, I know her and Candice LeRae work out well. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to be able to put them over, then where do you really get a spot on the roster?
Right.
So, again, it's like, it's great. She's a great talent. Not for anything. She's a great talent. But she is not, she just wasn't fitting well in the women's division. SmackDown or Raw, by the way, because she was on both.
Absolutely. So now do we go to Mr. Baron Corbin?
This, I can say, is a very controversial one.
Well, let me ask you this, and I ask this with such conviction. Is Baron Corbin the biggest botch WWE ever made as far as pushes go? Like, in the case of dropping the ball with a talent, is Baron Corbin the worst case for WWE?
I think it wasn't that they dropped the ball. They threw too many teases. And again, when I mean teases, you had him win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
And his debut, which is now, roster, yeah.
Which is obviously now a thing of the past, because we have not seen that recently at all. Okay? You had him win Money in the Bank. You did nothing with that. Again, another tease.
That's a
because obviously
there.
Money in the Bank is like an 85% success cash in. I mean, unless the number might be wrong, but I'm spitballing a number here.
I mean, you remember the cash in on Jinder Mahal? You saw how that ended. I mean, that was a huge botch right there.
But then again, I'm gonna say it to more before then, and it's a Vince thing. It's not like anything out of the ordinary that it comes from somebody like Vince McMahon. I'm just going to be honest with you straight out and say it.
Testify, brother.
Baron Corbin in NXT was amazing.
Oh, yeah. And we're talking the first NXT run from 2014 to 2016.
But you had something with Baron Corbin back then. You kind of fucked with him in that first NXT run. And here's why. You made him wear a t-shirt because nobody liked to see the sight of his belly button. Seriously? Is this what we focus on? A belly button? I don't think so.
That's embarrassing if you ask me.
Then the character changed to tell him, hey, shave your head. We need to do like a character makeup change. No. No. I wasn't a fan of it back then. That they made him do things that wasn't prosthetically pleasing.
I mean, things that are just not him. Now, the head thing, now keep in mind, he was noticeable, his hair was noticeably getting thinner. But you see, going back to how it was running in 2017, like, he wins the Money in the Bank, tries to cash it in, John Cena, you know, causes him to lose in, like, 10 seconds. And then, of course, SummerSlam that year, he loses to John Cena. That's where people point, that's the day that the Lone Wolf character was gone forever. Because they blame John Cena for killing and burying the Lone Wolf.
But also at the same rate, though, again, on a maturity level of bringing him up. Now, he debuted at WrestleMania 32.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I could understand when you're bringing up talent to fill in spots. WrestleMania is good for that. The Royal Rumble is good for that.
Absolutely.
But you debut him, and I think, again, sometimes when you have great success in NXT, you make your debut on the main roster, sometimes you really just shouldn't be there fully right away. Like, work a talent in, see what the fans do, and you always have the option of bringing him back to NXT.
Build
and
up.
The perfect example is the way it's going now. Okay? You have guys that are up on the main roster right now that have been a back and forth from NXT to, say, SmackDown or Raw. Carmelo Hayes is the perfect example of that. Before they officially brought him to SmackDown, they had him on both shows. Now, for a talent, do you really want to be traveling back and forth from venue to venue to do NXT to SmackDown every week? Probably not. It's a lot of flyer miles. But
it would be exhausting.
But that's the way you got to get a litmus test on how people are going to succeed on the main roster. And back when it was the whole Indy Hartwell thing, the Tegan Knox thing, again, I thought prematurely, some people don't belong on the main roster. They belong in NXT. But they did this with Baron Corbin. And then after a while, because you don't have that persona that made them good to begin with, now you start tinkering with shit. And sometimes you tinker with it so much that you just lose what you got these people for. And it's not the persona, it's the talent that you were originally looking for to begin with. I mean, they did the whole BS Happy Corbin thing. They did the homeless Corbin thing.
Oh,
like,
man.
You know, like, that was horrible. And you've already had that whole thing going with, like, Ted DiBiase with the money thing. And I can't remember the other dude's name, that he was all broke and then hit crypto. And they made a storyline. Like, those were some pretty bad personas that they gave him. You know, and then when you don't have a spot to use him, you use him as Constable Corbin running around with Kurt Angle. Like, I understand you're paying the dude, but he's not the original persona that was there.
See, and now that you brought that up, you see, I've talked about this with you before. My favorite memory, like my most remembered memory of Baron Corbin was when he was Constable with Kurt Angle. That's when Roman Reigns punched him in the face backstage. I mean, I showed you that scene a couple days ago. I mean, people ask, why do I think it's funny? I think what's funny is just the way Roman looks at him, and then as soon as Baron Corbin starts smiling, bam, right in the face, and the way Corbin sold it.
But then you also have another key tease that they had with him. And obviously there were segments with The Rock and Becky Lynch. When he was King Corbin, for a whole whopping 2 years, did we not have a King of the Ring somewhere in between 2019 and 2021 that he was King Corbin for 2 years? Like, yeah, he became pretty much a comedial act for that time period.
Right, yeah, he did. You know, and going back to how I started with the question about the biggest botch, you know, now that I'm thinking, you know, I think now, like, you know, Baron Corbin and Elias are both in that category. Those are two very talented wrestlers that WWE basically messed up big time. But yeah, Corbin and Elias certainly.
But again, though, you I can say that there was positivity at the end before his release, because I know another wrestler that probably would agree with this. But when you've been in the company for so long, you're looking at 12 years. He was in the company for 12 years.
12 years, started in 2012.
And
he was signed in 2012.
But I would love to say, though, that the tag team run that he had with Bron Breakker, like, I at some point, if you're not going to use main roster talent, like a Baron Corbin, or, I mean, people that have been around the block for a while, like Natalya, don't have to be in the spotlight as much. Have them run with the younger talent a little bit. It's kind of like with professional sports, right? You're not just going to field a team, like a baseball team of 26 rookies. You're not going to do that.
No.
You're not going to build an NFL roster of 53 guys with all rookies, first and second year players. You're not going to do that. You're going to sprinkle in, you know, the vets. You got to do that. Because there are times where you're going to go out on the road and you're going to do like all they did back in like the 80s and early 90s. Kids are going to go out and party, get drunk, get high, do stupid shit. AKA the Usos, because they really had no veteran people monitoring them over the course of their career. I'm not throwing them under the bus, but you know what? That's life when you hit the bright lights, big city, camera, microphone. Like you lose the focus of what you're really truly there for. And I think having somebody like a JBL over a Baron Corbin was the perfect example. Okay, you got to have some vet leadership there. I mean, you could be still seasoned, but you still have a vet behind you, like saying, okay, like the ways are changing. Like you got to be able to do different move sets or whatever to try to get across. And I think even though Corbin really didn't go up with Breakker into the main roster, which I kind of was hoping and praying that that would have really kind of happened, because they had a really good thing going in NXT.
I mean, they won the
title. Corbin was. I think Corbin being with Breakker kind of set the bar, because now as you see Bron Breakker kind of floating on the main roster, like he doesn't have the direction. And I don't know if very many vets in that Raw locker room are going to sit there and kind of tutor him a little bit. And I think that was the point of keeping Corbin around.
Right. I mean, they put the belt back on Breakker, speaking of that.
But I'm not going to say that Corbin falls on hard times just because he's not on the roster at this point, because he is really successful at social media. So he does have another calling, and it's not like he can get picked up by like a TNA, or he might get picked up like by like a GCW or something, because guys that have been in WWE for a while, they kind of go out to the indies, they refine themselves and prove to WWE, even at the age of 40, that they still have gas in the tank. And there's numerous guys that are out on other brands right now that are showing that they still have it. So I wish him good luck. I'm not going to say that he's been completely wasted, but I can guarantee you if he does like a McIntyre or a, I can't remember his name, Matt Cardona, that have gone out and redefined themselves and refound themselves and stuff like that.
Jinder Mahal's doing that right now.
I kind of hope that that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. But I do have to say, I do honestly believe Baron Corbin was, I mean, that was the word he used, completely wasted by WWE. I mean, again, what happened in 2017, that Money in the Bank cash-in where he lost in 10 seconds and then losing to John Cena, which I believe was at the SummerSlam. I'm pretty sure it was. And then you know, after that, because you know when he shaved his head, I knew that the lone wolf character could never come back. Because if you think about it, a lone wolf with no hair, it doesn't make sense. And going back again, like my favorite, my most remembered memory of Corbin being punched in the face. Another one, you know, I mentioned Elias when Elias sang to him, or when Elias hit him with his guitar.
But you know what, though? Like, even I'll use this as a weird analogy to what happened to Corbin. The Undertaker. When he disappeared for a while, we all thought he was going to come back as the Dead Man. And he came back as the American Badass. Like, the Dead Man gimmick was kind of gone. Like, just a visual part of it. Sometimes when you do a thing like you shave your head, it's mostly for some type of reason. I think for WWE, they thought it was just a bad persona reason. And you want to try to change that. I don't think it totally kills the character. But I think The Undertaker is kind of like the perfect base for that. He still talked about being a dead man, being his yard, the 10 decades of destruction. You know, like, they just kind of just changed what he looked like, but it was still almost the same character. And they could have done that with Corbin. So he had to wear a shirt. It could have been a sleeveless shirt. It could have been a tank top, but
was a tank top, like, for some of the run. I think it was a tank top.
Have still kept the lone wolf thing, though. That's the point.
Yeah,
they just totally killed off that part of his character,
big time. And I mean, I'll never forget that segment when he burns that segment he did when he was like burning his past, like burned the hat and everything else. And you know, and speaking of JBL, I think JBL actually, there was even a news story about it that JBL actually regretted working with Corbin, that he didn't enjoy it.
You know what, though? But then you also have to mention that JBL doesn't exactly have a locker room, home team feel to him. You know, he's one of the ones over the course of time that have just either, like, done hazing with talent or, you know, like, some talent is very like they know his history, so they don't kind of like click with that. There's no cohesiveness with it. And I like at some points, again, like you try to say it that, you know, like talent really should try to kind of learn from vets. I don't think he's a vet I really want having around younger talent. So it might have been a bad mix for him to be working with anybody at that point.
Well, we wrap up this part. Now we got to talk about, because a couple episodes ago, you were pretty vocal about this particular situation, but Bobby Lashley making his AEW debut, and the Hurt Syndicate is in business.
Well, I'm kind of glad that they kept the Syndicate part, the Hurt Syndicate. It doesn't feel complete. Because it's still, I still feel like they're missing Cedric Alexander. And he's not getting out from WWE anytime soon unless they pull the plug on his contract. And he's working with a lot of good young talent in NXT right now. So I don't really feel like the Hurt Syndicate is complete. Like, there's still pieces that need to be added. Obviously, you know about, we've talked in length, even kind of Saturday, about factions, okay? To me, this faction needs a few more members. It kind of needs to have that, I'll do kind of a little bit of an association to factions. Yes, NWO was a large faction, but they were more effective with having a bigger group of people. Bullet Club started off as five guys, and they became a very large faction, which covered a lot of ground, no matter what title picture you were looking at. Now, I'm not a big fan of having 15 titles in my company. I'm not going to lie when I tell you that. I think that you really should just have a lot of major ones, or ones that are build up to major ones. New Japan is one that has a lot of titles. AEW has a lot of titles. Now WWE has a lot of titles. So now you have a lot of real divisions you have to cover. MVP is not going to be as active as everybody thinks. You're only going to have Shelton Benjamin and frickin' Lashley running around. That's only two.
Benjamin's
what are you
still,
really going to cover?
Still working. You know the way he works his matches?
And he's in his early 50s, I believe.
No, he's actually in his late 40s.
But you know what? They said something that he was like 50 and he was still moving.
I mean, but again, great match with Leo Rush. Had a great match with Sammy Guevara.
But how often are you?
He recently worked with Swerve and suffered his first loss when he lost.
But how often are you going to have a guy in that age range going 50 miles an hour?
Never.
Lashley's not very young either. So again, like you're gonna if you're AEW at this point, you have older guys wrestling. You're not gonna have them on a. They're gonna be more promo than anything else.
Right.
These are going to be the guys that you're going to be using at I don't know if you really want to use the term as PLE or you want to lose the term as pay-per-view or whatever, but that's the only time they're really going to work. So how big is really the Hurt Syndicate at this point? It needs more members. It needs guys that you're going to be able to show on a religious basis.
It would have to be
so
big
it doesn't feel full.
It would have to be big enough to where, like, it would be good enough to challenge the Inner Circle if this was happening back in late 2019.
I think it would have to be a lot bigger than that.
Right. Or bigger than the Pinnacle.
Like, to me right now, if you want to do a comparison, and obviously they've now converted it from the BCC to the MCC. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The Moxley Combat Club.
The Moxley Combat Club,
which actually
okay?
I think is really cool. I really like that story.
But you look at that group by itself: Wheeler Yuta, Castagnoli, Pac, Moxley, and I can't remember her name.
Marina
Shafir. Okay, that's five people that are legit gonna could be on every show and be active. And none of them are close to the age range of a Lashley or Shelton Benjamin or an MVP. You need other guys or gals in that faction to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Like, I'm going to go out and probably say it, that I think that there are two tag teams that really should kind of go there. And they have quite a few singles guys that you don't see as relevant as they usually should. I mean, you got to, like Moxie says, you have a roster of 152 people.
Mm-hmm.
You try to cram into 7 hours of programming.
Absolutely. And
it doesn't work.
In mind, by the way. But I'll let you know when you're done. So please continue.
I have tag teams in my brain that really should be there. Like, I think a team, regardless of what they got storyline running, a team like Private Party would survive.
Yeah, they just became the tag team champions.
Okay. I think, again, like, as this show is going, like, the ideas are flowing in my head, so I apologize to anybody listening if I'm not good with all of the names that I bring out, and Alex will support me on that.
We love you, Ricky.
I think the tag team needs to get away from Billy Gunn and show their true attitude. And you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, we know who you're talking about.
The Scissor Gang. I think that it's time for a freshening for them to go from their face persona to a heel persona. I think both of them would fit very well with a Lashley and a Benjamin. Guys that, even though that they've been with the company for 4 years, 5 years, I think maybe they need a heel run. They could learn well from a guy like Shelton Benjamin, who's a tag team specialist.
Oh, yeah. Once upon a time, the world's greatest tag team. But check this out. You mentioned how the Hurt Syndicate needs somebody else. Well, you know who I have in mind? Keith Lee, who's actually been out for a while. I think he's been injured.
There's my bad thing. Okay, I can't see ever Keith Lee being a heel. I truly believe that. Maybe I could be wrong by saying it's AEW's bad story writing.
Well, very likely.
Or segment setups or whatever. But before Swerve got this whole huge face run, he was a heel.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know why?
You had a face and a heel running together.
Do you know why I brought up Keith Lee?
Why?
Swerve in our glory. But now I'm starting to think of it another way. Okay, so maybe Keith Lee comes in, joins the Hurt Syndicate, but, or maybe even better, he comes back, reunites with Swerve, Swerve in our glory is back, and they feud with the Hurt Syndicate.
See, as much as I would love that, I'm kind of on the fence with the whole let's bring Keith Lee back thing. He's dealing with some massive medical issue that's kept him out almost 2 years. And I would love to see him sporadically. Like, I don't think I could see Keith Lee on, like, a week-to-week basis. Because I would be afraid that if you use him a lot, that whatever messed him up this time could start over again.
Right.
Like, he's almost the same category, and I'm throwing in a football reference on this show. The same thing that's happening with Tua from the Miami Dolphins is the same way you kind of got to think of Keith Lee. When is enough enough? And when is it to say, hey, you know what? Like, I've done what I've done in the business. It's time to finish. Keith Lee is a very, very big man. Yes, dramatically athletic. Same thing as Tua. But Tua has the issue of concussions. And Keith Lee has not always been, again, the most healthy performer to have a longevity more than, like, 8 months, 9 months. It's chronological in his wrestling history. When he was in NXT, you see him for a few months. Keith Lee gets written off somehow. He's dealing with something medical. Now you had him in AEW. I believe he's been on the AEW roster 2 years. And you've seen him in spurts. So, again, like, I kind of, as much as I would love to see Keith Lee back and his persona and everything else, I don't think he's the best idea. I think that there are other guys, if you really go down the AEW roster, that have been kind of left in catering or made to show up and they like, oh, you're not working, go home, go back to your hotel, do whatever it is that you're doing because we don't need you. Like, we're not writing you in for anything on pre-tapes or live shows or whatever, because they don't do house shows, obviously. So, again, like, you got to be able to find places for people. I'm not saying to throw them in battle royals, because that's kind of douchey, if you ask me.
Right.
And you're going to get thrown out in the first 5 minutes. Like, you know, like, if you're going to build this faction up properly, use guys that you know that will bring eyes on the product. And there's tons of them. Like a Ricky Starks, for example. Ricky Starks is healthy. He's running around. Bring Ricky Starks into the Hurt Syndicate. There you go. You bring him back. He doesn't have to work as much. He's got a storyline. He could be on TV. Mm-hmm. There you go. At some point, you're going to break up the learning tree. Right? Big Bill. Big Bill would be a perfect one for the Hurt Syndicate. Not this learning tree crap. They're making him look like a pussy. Use Big Bill to his true talents. He's a freaking killer. He would be perfect for the fucking Hurt Syndicate.
Leo Rush, I think, probably would be good for the Hurt Syndicate. I think if they pair up Leo with Swerve.
If they, well, that, see, that I could see.
Yeah, I see. You,
that
yeah.
I could see. Leo, if you really want to do it, you want to make it like a turf war type deal.
Yeah.
Hurt Syndicate brings in, like I said, I can't remember names right now. My apologies. I was not totally mentally prepared for that. You bring in the tag team that was running with Billy Gunn. Bring them into the Hurt Syndicate. Okay. Swerve counters with a team like Top Flight. Top Flight would be perfect for a lovely turf war like that. Because not only are you getting Top Flight, you're getting Andretti. You're getting Leo Rush. You understand? Like, yeah. You got to build, like, each each side can be built perfectly if it's done correctly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like I love Lashley as a performer, but I want like a fucking 6'8" dude to be running with them like a true enforcer would. Like you bring in that big guy. You bring in a Big Bill, run him with Hurt Syndicate. Then you could gladly find somebody on the other side that you got to pair it with. Like, that's the proper way to build a faction. You have your tag teams. Good. Then you have your, I'll use a vague term, cruiserweights. Leo Rush would fit perfect in a cruiserweight spot. You build something like that for the Syndicate. But I don't... As much as I love the way that they waited, I don't think they did it at the proper time. I would have definitely done it as a pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
Full gear is coming up. I rather would have waited on that instead of doing it on a Dynamite or a Collision. Like, I don't think that was really, for me, a big pop. But you also had that on the same card almost as when Moxley's beating up freaking Orange Cassidy and... Like, I just don't get it. Like, you overloaded that spot. It should have been done by itself. But it's there.
It's there.
And I just hope and pray, again, that they build it up more than just the three of them. Because then it's a waste.
It is. And you know what? Yeah, I think it fits perfectly. Leo Rush and Swerve, that's great. And because again, you mentioned about Keith Lee, so... But yeah, I think Leo Rush alongside Swerve, and they have Prince Nana on their side. Because remember, both sides are gonna need the manager. So you have MVP on one side, Prince Nana on the other. But again, I mean, if it's 3-on-2, so again, you mentioned the turf war situation. Swerve is gonna have to even the odds. So Action Andretti.
But if you really want to look at it, you look at what they have now. Again, the Moxley Combat Club, 5 members. If you want to kind of throw around Top Flight, for example, that is a mini faction. There's 4 guys in that faction and a woman. Okay, so let's say 5. All right. Going to ROH, Shane Taylor Promotions. They just got bigger. They added a tag team to their deal. They have 2 singles guys, a tag team, and a women's division wrestler. That's 5. If you're going to do Hurt Syndicate, you got to get more members. Because all the mini factions have 5 people. If you really wanted to kind of look at it, Bullet Club Gold, 4 members. Something's got to break at some point.
Right. Absolutely.
So why would you not expand it? It's a start. That's maybe what I could say. Is it's a start, and you hope and pray that you build it better.
I hope that the AEW creative team is listening to this.
Oh, because you know what? I would be one of 28 riders that would have to be going along with them on their miraculous ride. And that's where I see it kind of gets messed up, because they have way too much of a backstage writing crew. And that's where a lot of people are kind of like already done with AEW, and they're looking for better options, because the storytelling doesn't either last long enough, or it's just not done properly. They don't follow up on stuff. You know, that's where I hope that AEW doesn't drop the ball on this.
As far as creative goes, I got 2 words. Scott D'Amore. Scott D'Amore would actually be a great addition to that. I mean, if he would take charge, Scott D'Amore would do a great job. He did a hell of a job with TNA Wrestling. There's no doubt in my mind he'd do a great job with AEW.
I actually want to shout him out before we go.
Go ahead.
Because he just... had a pay-per-view about 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, for his show. Well,
for his for his organization that he's running. I think it was Maple City Pro Wrestling.
Something
or
like
Maple
that.
Pro
so, you
Wrestling.
Know what? I guess because of the reminder, I don't think Scott D'Amore would be interested in.
You know what? Like, I think he needs to stay out on his own.
Probably.
That card for 2 nights was mega. He had I don't know what strings he pulled or whatever, but that card was ridiculous.
And you mentioned it, you said it was a pay-per-view. So it's not just... So
it was 2 days.
So his company is not just an independent promotion. Or at least it's growing.
I think he's starting out as indie, the same way Ring of Honor did. But I think if he can still repeatedly pull the strings on bringing in talent, like he brought in TNA talent. He signed TNA talent for that show. He had people on there like Jordynne Grace, which I think she's phenomenal in the ring. You know, the female version of Scott Steiner. You know, Big Mama Pump, I think they called her for a while. I mean, if he can maintain that, that'll become a major promotion at some point.
Absolutely.
It needs to build of a Ring of Honor.
Absolutely.
That's the way to get the spotlight on it.
Absolutely.
But definitely, I'm glad you mentioned his name because I think that's one thing that if you are a true wrestling aficionado and you don't keep your eyes stuck on one brand, like a lot of people are only stuck on AEW, a lot of people are only stuck on WWE.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a true wrestling aficionado that sits there and likes the variety of being able to watch professional wrestling or AKA sports entertainment. I think you really need to try to figure out how to check out anything that he's doing with his company. Again, not prepared for the segment. I apologize, but I think it's Maple City or Maple Pro Wrestling. Those two shows were phenomenal. They were absolutely phenomenal. And again, if he builds it, I think that's something a lot of people will watch.
No doubt about it. Well, there's actually, first of all, there's two little bonus things we got to talk about. Number one, do you know who recently announced his retirement from professional wrestling?
No, I haven't was up on that, really.
Marco Stunt, for health reasons.
He's very young. He is very young. He's not somebody I would show up to the card for, okay? I think at a lot of points, gimmick wrestling is not as popular. Like, they always said he was fun-sized. 5 foot nothing, weighed 140 pounds soaking wet, and a guy for his build can only take so many bumps.
Right. I mean, he said, well, to prioritize his long-term health is a reason why he retired. I'm sure there's other reasons as well.
And I give him, you know what? AEW kind of dropped him on his head. He was the newborn that I think AEW kind of got tired of. And, like, you don't see a lot of gimmick anymore, especially in AEW. For example, when was the last time you saw Danhausen on an AEW program?
It's been too long.
It's been like 9 months. He got hurt and then got written off of TV, and you've not seen him. And he was a big thing with like the whole Best Friends faction, which again was a large faction that they tried to keep with bringing in New Japan talent for Best Friends. Now it's the conglomeration. Ooh, I'm scared of that. But anyway, Marco he's a gimmick. And after a while, sometimes gimmicks die and you don't have any place for them on your roster. So how do you really do it? Marco is very smart. I'm pretty sure he's got a great head on his shoulders. Will be able to find something that will probably make his life a little bit better. Not only physically, but mentally. And I give him all props for retiring early. I really, really do. Because it's something that he needed to do for himself.
Absolutely. So, and the second one, somebody recently announced a, quote, retirement match. And do you know who that is?
Who?
Goldberg. I don't even know what to say about that. Goldberg is going to have one more match, right? Or should we say like this, Ricky? One more match.
I don't know if I really want to see that train wreck. I really, really thought the last Goldberg train wreck was him versus Lashley, I believe, at WrestleMania. I I am not, like, that man is old. He's in tremendous shape. He's not in ring shape. I really officially thought him versus Lashley was the last time, you know, we got to see him destroy his forehead on a locker. Because, like, that gimmick is kind of gone. You know, the him standing in the pyro, I kind of thought that would be gone. Like, I was a huge Goldberg fan back in the day. Yeah. And I think I kind of lost that when he wrestled The Undertaker.
Like,
I know Jericho has gone out and said, we hate the word botch. But when you got somebody of his age working with somebody younger or of age, I am almost afraid of an ambulance pulling up to the back and taking them out on a stretcher and going to the emergency room. I cannot.
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
I can't.
Ric Flair has had like 8 retirement matches.
Right.
And that 83-year-old bastard is still running around on freaking trying to get another indie match somewhere. Like, I can't.
Wait,
like,
who would that be?
I don't know who Ric Flair has been trying to get in with.
Ric Flair.
But Ric Flair has had like 8 retirement matches.
At least 8.
Goldberg, please. If you're going to do something, just do a run-in, spear somebody, cause them their title, and go back to freaking Georgia where you belong and just leave it alone. Please. I can't. They had him on that freaking on the pay-per-view with freaking Gunther and shit, and I'm like, yeah, no, can't do this shit.
That's why Gunther is obviously going to be the retirement match. Gunther is going to go over. We all. I mean, it can't be against Triple H because Triple H cannot wrestle because of that, you know, that heart condition, you know, from that scare we saw a couple years ago. And no, actually, you were talking about the Lashley versus Goldberg. That was for the WWE title, right?
No, that was I think they had like a freaking no DQ match or whatever.
Because the title match.
I remember him spearing him off the stage.
Because that title match was at SummerSlam of 2021.
Yeah, I can't. Bill, please stop. I can't. After you fucked it up with The Undertaker, I can't do it anymore. I can't see it.
There was also that. Yeah, you talk about that no holds barred match or that false count anywhere no holds barred match.
Yeah, I can't just. I just can't do it.
I mean, look, everybody's got their opinions on the guy, and actually, and for Goldberg, look, yeah, this retirement match. I mean, now that it's been announced, as soon as I heard that, all I said was, "Oh, geez, that's all." That was my reaction.
Yeah, I'm not down with Goldberg. You just left another bad taste in my mouth. Congratulations.
Who, me?
Yeah, telling me Goldberg's having a retirement match. I can't do it.
Well, I'm surprised that you didn't know about it because it's usually you're the one who actually usually gives me these updates in wrestling. So
I'll be honest with you on this. If that match makes a PLE, I am grabbing the newspaper. I'm grabbing a fresh roll of toilet paper, and I will sit on my toilet for however long that match goes. Because all I have in my head is that crash part of Mick Foley's theme when he comes out to the ring, like a car wreck. That's what I that is the sound that's in my head, knowing the fact that Goldberg is going to wrestle one more match.
Let me understand it. So if that's the case, I'm going to be tasked with keeping you posted, right, and telling you when the match is over.
Yeah, you'll be telling me when I have to take in a wipe and leave.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it happens, I bet you the match is going to be no less than 5 minutes, no longer than 7 minutes.
So I'll make sure I won't have the full chili with bean dip going on for that.
Yeah, but anyway... Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you can find Ringside Chaos wherever you get your podcast. So here's what Ricky and I need y'all to do. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way, we both know for sure that you won't miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Ricky, thank you so much for coming on this show with me on this fine Monday afternoon. I cannot wait to do it again, sir.
I can't wait to do it again myself. I think our next recap is going to be when?
Well, we're talking about Survivor Series, so that's going to be later this month.
Survivor Series and Full Gear.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir, indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, if y'all did not catch the Crown Jewel recap, I strongly recommend that you watch it, but specifically pay attention to the first 10, 15 minutes. And if you do watch it, whoever won, well, you be the judge. You write your thoughts down in the comments. Who won? Why not? What you think?
Hashtag white guy anger.
Yep. And ladies and gentlemen, as I just said, do not sugarcoat. Tell it like it is. Thank you all very, very much. Ricky, thank you again. We'll see y'all next time.